Good afternoon, 4:30 and 43 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Ashley Chapman.
To us on this project, the value of the building is the property it's sitting on, not the building.
Ashland Mayor Steve Gilmore says the city will take possession of the former corporate headquarters of Ashland Oil as an inducement for a larger economic development project downtown.
Governor Bevin holds a ceremonial signing for Kentucky's new right-to-work law.
And a state senator from Louisville has a plan to reduce smoking in Kentucky.
In sports, the Moorhead State women's basketball team is home tonight for Tennessee State.
Bud Luke has the stocks.
Mostly clear and colder tonight, lows dripping into the mid-20s. The complete forecast after this news.
The city of Ashland has taken a step to acquire a seven-story building downtown that once housed the corporate headquarters of Ashland Oil. The vacant structure is at 1401 Winchester Avenue, and the Louisa Community Bank wants to donate the property to the city. Mayor Steve Gilmore says Ashland will take possession of it in order to encourage a larger private development in the neighborhood. However, he says if that project falls through, the city is not obligated to accept the property.
We've really got the best of both worlds. We've ensured to the developer that we've taken our step on this piece of property, but we also know that if it doesn't go, we're not stuck with a piece of property. But it is a significant piece of the puzzle for this development to happen.
Gilmore says if the proposed development takes place, it'll make a significant contribution to the revitalization of Ashland's downtown.
The city of Ashland will make up to $150,000 in infrastructure improvements near the intersection of 9th Street and Central Avenue. City commissioners approved the expenditure today as an incentive package for developer John Stewart to make a private investment in the neighborhood. Ashland's economic development director is Chris Pullum. He says public works upgrades are a good way to induce business creation.
For instance, the Melody Mountain development needed close to $3 million to make that project happen. So the city actually went in and purchased the land and constructed the parking lot. Very similar here in that we're investing in public infrastructure that doesn't just serve that project. Yes, it does serve the project, but it also serves the entire neighborhood and the entire community. It's an easy fit for us.
No details have yet been provided on the private investment plan for the neighborhood.
Greenup County's fiscal court is poised to turn over tax revenue to help a troubled industrial park. We get that story from MSPR's Kyle Blankenbuehler.
According to the Daily Independent, the administrative agent for the park, Tom Saylor, pitched the idea to commissioners Tuesday. He asked them to turn over the revenue the county gets taxes on the industrial park for the next 5 years to help with its operating expenses. The group was agreeable to the proposal but declined to say yes right away. If Greenup and the other four counties involved in East Park, which include Carter, Boyd, Lawrence, and Elliott, okay that action, it would create about $62,000 a year for the cash-strapped park. East Park needs money to pay its monthly obligations for landscaping, utilities, insurance, and interest on a park-owned building which officials had hoped to sell in an incoming business. The building never sold, and its occupancy has not met expectations. Reporting for Moorhead State Public Radio News, I'm Kyle Blankenbuehler.
If Moorhead's central business is to grow, Mayor Jim Tom Trent says it's critical it be designated as a tax increment financing district. Trent expects the city and Rowan County governments to have measures in place that will do that by this summer. He says the local and state tax incentives that would result because of having a TIF district would likely bring some very important development to downtown Moorhead.
We had a hotel feasibility study done by a pretty reputable company out of the east, up around the east coast, and they came in and told us right now, as we stand, without a TIF district, we are about a 3 as far as attractiveness for a downtown hotel.
And that's on a scale of 1 to 10. Trent says enacting a TIF district in Central Moorhead would move that score of 3 to a 7 or 8. Trent stresses that while enacting a tax increment financing district would provide developers with tax breaks, it would not result in a tax increase for anyone.
The executive director of the Moorhead-Rowan County Economic Development Council believes his area and the entire Commonwealth will benefit from Kentucky becoming a right-to-work state. Bob Helton was on hand today in Frankfort as Governor Matt Bevin signed a bill to make that happen. According to Helton, from what he's been told by officials from the State Economic Development Association and the Kentucky Economic Development Cabinet, that action could lead to thousands of new jobs in the Commonwealth.
The real benefit of that legislation is that 30% or so of companies looking for new locations put that question very high on their search. And if for that group of folks, if you can't check that box, then those folks stop looking at Kentucky at that point.
A right-to-work law prevents individuals from having to join labor unions as terms of their employment. Some states surrounding Kentucky, including Indiana and Tennessee, have approved right-to-work legislation in recent years.
The future of one of Morehead State University's longest-standing dormitories will be determined later this year. 16-story Cartmel Hall was constructed in 1969, and the school's assistant vice president of facilities management, Rick Linio, says it no longer meets the needs of today's students. According to Linio, the design firm that will be hired this spring to put together MSU's new campus resident hall master plan will determine what will be done with Cartmel.
It's a matter of what do we do with it? Do we invest, $10, $11 million to renovate it? Do we invest that money into something else, into like a new building? So no decision has been made. That's all part of what we hope to get from the company we ever hire, the firm who we select to help us guide through those type of decisions.
Cartmel Hall has space for 508 students. The facility is currently empty.
Ashland City Commissioners have fired one of their police officers. The action came today during the commission's regular meeting and followed a lengthy executive session last week. Police Chief Todd Kelly says he can't release the name of the person or the reason for the termination. He also can't reveal how long the officer has been on the force. Kelly does indicate that Ashland has not fired a police officer for quite some time. The chief says it's been more than a decade.
Kentuckians should consider supporting the Kentucky Child Victims Abuse Trust Fund, a state nonprofit that keeps children safe from sexual abuse, so says Attorney General Andy Beshear.
You can check the box on your taxes that allows you to donate to the fund, or you can either purchase or renew your I Care About Kids license plate.
Beshear said in a Twitter video the CVFT raised over $160,000 last year, putting that money towards training 1,200 people to recognize the signs of sexual predators and 400 child abuse forensic exams.
The House Licensing and Occupations Committee today approved amendments to Kentucky's liquor control law that permit state or local officials to suspend a liquor license for public safety concerns. Christy Trout is commissioner for the Department of Alcoholic Beverage Control.
For example, there is an establishment that has a lot of violent crime, or if our enforcement officers unfortunately have been in businesses where there were human trafficking concerns, or businesses that were holding passports or visas of their employees in order to force them to work. And those are the types of circumstances where we would like the opportunity to be able to suspend those licenses for an emergent situation.
Trout stresses the businesses that hold those licenses would still have due process rights in court. State Representative Adam Koenig chairs the panel. He says other changes to the bill are designed to accommodate local communities, which may have their own liquor rules.
The city of Ashland has our own basic statutes on alcohol, and we're going to make some changes to make all that work together properly.
Koenig also says further changes to the bill will be offered as amendments on the House floor.
It's okay for Kentucky to offer substance abuse prevention programs in its public schools and impose stiffer penalties on heroin traffickers, but there's another aspect of the problem that deserves equal attention, so says Jefferson County State Representative Mary Lou Marzian. The Democrat serves on the House Education and Health and Welfare Committees.
I would urge my colleagues to make sure that we fund substance abuse treatment, because I remember Secretary Tilley, at the time he was a legislator, said we can't lock ourselves up out of this crisis. We need to treat these people as sick and as abusers and to get them therapy.
Marzian says they were once considered controversial, but now there's widespread agreement that needle-sharing programs have been effective in slowing the transmission of diseases like AIDS and hepatitis C.
The House Health and Welfare Committee today approved a bill that would require Kentucky health insurance carriers to offer smoking cessation coverage. The measure is sponsored by Republican State Senator Julie Rocky Adams of Louisville.
We know that when employees have access to true tobacco cessation treatments, employers see the benefits as well, including reduced health care costs and increased worker productivity.
Adams is chair of the Senate Health and Welfare Panel. According to the American Cancer Society, 26% of Kentuckians smoke, and that's the highest in the nation.
Republican Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has refused to comment on the resignation of President Trump's National Security Advisor. Michael Flynn resigned Monday night after revealing that he had not given Vice President Mike Pence all of the information in regards to his call to the Russian ambassador. McConnell spoke at a press conference yesterday.
With regard to White House personnel decisions, it's the president's call. Everybody at the White House serves at the pleasure. He can speak for himself on that. I think it's pretty obvious why he decided to make the decision he did.
So far, three names have been thrown up for consideration for his replacement: Lieutenant General Joseph Keith Kellogg Jr., Vice Admiral Bob Harward, and former CIA Director David Petraeus.
A health professor and researcher at Marshall University has received a federal grant to support healthcare work for high-risk diabetes patients. Dr. Richard Crespo of the Department of Family and Community Health at the university's medical school says the $1.3 million from the Appalachian Regional Commission will support community health workers in Kentucky, West Virginia, and Ohio. He says those workers are often tight on funds.
What we're doing is creating a model for reimbursing community health workers who work with high-risk diabetes patients. The critical outcome of this grant is sustainable employment for the community health workers.
Crespo adds the grant will finance the creation of care coordination teams who will work with patients in their homes and communities. He predicts 625 patients will be served by 25 community workers as a result of the funding. In Kentucky, Crespo is working with Big Sandy Healthcare, which operates in Pike, Martin, and McGoffin counties.
Kentucky Power held its third outreach workshop for its customers Monday in Boyd County. During the event at the Ashland Community and Technical College Training Center, KP clients received assistance from the company on how to properly read their bills. The event not only allowed Kentucky Power officials to answer questions, but also to meet with consumers. Allison Barker is a spokeswoman for the company.
It's an effort to get out and interact with our customers. It gives customers an opportunity to come in and get some assistance with their bill if they have questions about the bill, help understand some of the riders that are on the bill.
Barker also says the outreach event presents an easy way for KP customers to better understand their bills and learn more about energy efficiency. Taking a look at your weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly cloudy, then becoming mostly clear, then becoming mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-20s. Thursday, partly sunny with highs in the lower 40s. Thursday night, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-30s. Friday, mostly sunny with highs in the mid-50s. Saturday will be partly sunny with a 20% chance of rain showers and highs in the lower 60s. And Sunday will be mostly sunny with highs in the lower 60s. Temperatures for your listening region: it's currently 44 degrees in Ashland, 42 in Flemingsburg, 46 in Inez, Lexington and Winchester are both sitting at 45 degrees, and it is currently 43 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
444, you are tuned to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have you along on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, Kentucky's minority youth may be suffering injustice at the hands of the juvenile justice system. Greg Stottlemyer has that story.
A mountain of studies show that black kids face harsher treatment than white kids do, something a Kentucky senator wants answers about so the state can reduce the disparities. Senate Judiciary Chair Whitney Westerfield has filed a bill he says will collect consistent data on age, gender, and race from places young people come into contact with, schools, law enforcement, courts, and social services.
Until we know where it is, because there are half a dozen or so points of contact for a kid in the system, we can't go very broad into policy changes to address it.
Westerfield says it's the next step in adjusting the state's juvenile justice system, which underwent enormous reform 3 years ago. He hopes to take a vote on his bill in committee Thursday. Edward Palmer, a pastor from Radcliffe and a member of the state's Juvenile Justice Advisory Board, says after kicking the can down the road for decades, he's confident Westerfield's bill will move Kentucky closer to addressing the problem.
To clearly identify what's causing those disparities and give us strategies as to how to begin to create better outcomes for minority kids.
According to the Pew Charitable Trust, black youth are not more likely to engage in delinquent behavior than are white youth. Westerfield says the harsher treatment can be jaw-dropping, citing statistics from last school year in Jefferson County, where nearly 1,200 of the 1,700 school complaints were made against African Americans, even though only 10% of the students are black.
I don't think anybody can say that it's a school thing, a law enforcement thing, a social worker thing. We don't know. But we know that more kids than ought be in there are in there. So yes, we know that it's there.
Because Palmer says when kids self-report, research shows they say they all do the same thing.
So the kids are telling us, yeah, I try pot just like the kid in the West End of Louisville tries pot. So they're all doing the same thing. They all think the same way. The difference is the communities in which they live in and how their deviant behavior plays out and how their deviant behavior is detected or not detected.
I'm Greg Stottlemyer reporting for Kentucky News Connection.
447, you are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports in just a moment.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Morehead and surrounding communities with WIVY at 96.3 FM. All the programming of WIVY, music, news, and Morehead State University football and basketball are available worldwide on WIVYradio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WIVY proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Morehead State women's basketball team is at Johnson Arena tonight for a 6 o'clock OVC battle with Tennessee State. Coach Greg Todd's Eagles will be looking to even things up with the Lady Tigers, who beat them 69-66 last month in Nashville.
We'll have to come in and be very focused, very ready for a tough team that we haven't beat in several years. Not that it's a new year and we've broke a lot of bad streaks this year.
The Morehead women are 18-7 overall and 8-4 in conference. Tennessee State visits MSU, losers of 3 in a row. The Lady Tigers are just 2-10 away from home. The Morehead State men's basketball team plays at Tennessee State tomorrow night at 9. The Eagles beat TSU 87-85 last month at home, and interim coach Preston Spradlin expects the Tigers, who will be playing on their home floor, to give MSU their best shot.
They're going to be excited. We got to come ready to play. It's going to be, I would imagine, it's going to be very similar to the game that we played them at our place when we came out with a 2-point victory, and it could have went either way in that one. So we got to be prepared for that. We got to enjoy it. Can't look at the score. We just got to focus on our game plan and what we're doing and see if we can go down there and get us a couple.
MSU has been on a row. The Eagles have won 4 straight and 9 of their last 11, improving to 13-12 overall and to 9-3 in the OVC in the process. The Kentucky basketball team last night finally put together the top of complete game effort that Coach John Calipari has been waiting for. 13th-ranked UK played well at both ends of the floor in routing Tennessee 83-58 at Rupp Arena. According to Calipari, the key to the Wildcats' big offensive night was their ball movement.
It's what we've been working on. It's how we need to play, and we were playing that way early. We got away from it, so it makes us look like a different team.
Malik Monk's 20 points led the five Kentucky players in double figures. The 21-5 Cats connected on 11 of their 25 three-point tries. They visit Georgia on Saturday. Florida announced today that John Egbunu will be out for 10 to 12 months after suffering an ACL tear in Tuesday night's win at Auburn. Egbunu was averaging 8.7 rebounds and 1.5 blocks for the Gators, who are sitting in a first-place tie in the SEC with Kentucky and South Carolina. The White House has informed ESPN that President Donald Trump will not fill out a bracket for the 2017 men's and women's NCAA basketball tournament. The presidential bracket became a tradition under former President Barack Obama, who filled out his brackets on SportsCenter. The Morehead State Baseball Eagles are opening the 2017 season on Friday in Jackson, Mississippi against Jacksonville. With eight returning starters in the field, Coach Mike McGuire believes the Eagles will score plenty of runs this year.
We return, I think, all but eight of our home runs from a year ago. So I expect us to positionally to be very good. I think we're very, very skilled positionally and going to be a really good defensive club as well as a good offensive club.
MSU finished second in the OVC last spring with a .312 team batting average. They were fifth in scoring, averaging about 7.5 runs per game. The Morehead State softball team is also on the road this weekend. After going 2-2 to start the season, the softball Eagles head to Louisiana this weekend to play five games. Scoring 21 runs in the first four games of the season, head coach David Williams says he expects his team's offense to help out his pitching staff all year.
I think that it's helped a lot. You know, we've got some depth in the circle, but I think a lot of it, too, is our offense it seems to be pretty strong this year, and I'm hoping we prove that throughout the season, but I think that's allowed our pitchers to relax a little bit more. They're not as anxious, and they don't necessarily feel like they have to do as much because there is some run support there.
The Eagles play Buffalo and Middle Tennessee on Friday. Cincinnati Reds pitcher Homer Bailey is moving forward with his rehab work at the club's spring training camp in Goodyear, Arizona. The 30-year-old right-hander was recently placed on the Reds' 60-day disabled list after undergoing elbow surgery. Bailey hopes to begin throwing in a couple of weeks, but says it will be a while before he returns to a major league mound.
I think right now we're looking like at the very beginning of June. I know one of the things is saying, you know, do you go 60-day for the roster spot? Will you be ready before then? And I mean, because it'll start at the beginning of April, and it's right around that time. I mean, it's within like a day or two. So it's just going to probably depend on how the progress is early.
Bailey missed all but six starts last season after coming back from Tommy John surgery. And finally in sports, a contender for a spot in the St. Louis Cardinals starting rotation will have Tommy John surgery. AP correspondent David Solomon reports.
St. Louis Cardinals pitcher Alex Reyes will miss the entire season. He will need Tommy John surgery to replace a torn ulnar collateral ligament in his right elbow. The 22-year-old right-hander went 4-1 with a 1.51 earned run average in 12 games, including five starts last season. He struck out 52 batters in 46 innings after making his major league debut on August 9th. He was a front runner for a spot in the Cardinals' 2017 rotation. David Solomon, Jupiter, Florida.
That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Taking a look at your weather forecast tonight, mostly clear. Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Women's basketball welcomes Tennessee State tonight at 6 p.m. The next home for men's basketball is Thursday, February 23rd, when they host Tennessee Tech for a 9 p.m. tip-off. Tickets and more information from the MSU Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks continued to climb higher and closed at fresh all-time highs for a fifth straight day as traders continued to bet on a pro-growth agenda under President Donald Trump. And the Dow Industrials finished with a gain of 107.45, finishing at 20,611.86. The S&P 500 was up 11.67 at 2349.25, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 36.87 to finish at 5819.44. And again, these are all new all-time closing highs for the three major indices. And the Dow was definitely strengthened a lot today by Procter & Gamble, as it was up almost 4%. This came after it was reported late yesterday that Nelson Peltz's Trian Fund Management had taken a stake in Procter & Gamble, and the fund's current position is worth roughly $3.5 billion. Healthcare was strong today as the sector climbed 1.2% to lead all S&P 500 sectors. In the financial sector, it was up 0.7% as the third best performer, and it remains the top gainer in the S&P 500 since the election with gains of more than 22%. The Spider S&P Regional Banking ETF hit an all-time high in trading today. The Spider S&P Retail ETF was up almost 1%, with the largest market cap stock, Amazon, closing up about 0.75%. Groupon led all retailers higher, surging 23% after reporting a strong quarter. However, all was not well with every stock today. Shares of H&R Block tumbled after Trump said the company probably wouldn't like his tax reform plan. Initially, the stock was down 2%. It did recover to close about 0.8% lower. In economic news, the consumer price index rose a more than expected 0.6% in January, the largest monthly gain since February 2013. U.S. Treasury yields spiked following data releases, with the benchmark 10-year note yield breaking above 2.5%, while the shorter-term 2-year note climbed to 1.26%. Retail sales also beat expectations, with the leading or the headline number showing a 0.4% rise for January after an upwardly revised 1% gain in December. The so-called core retail sales, excluding automobiles, gasoline, and building materials and food services, was up 0.4%. In the commodities markets today, gold for April delivery settled up $7.70 at $1,233.10 an ounce, while U.S. crude oil futures for March delivery were down 9 cents at $53.11 a barrel. In the Dow Industrials, the best performers were Procter & Gamble and Pfizer. The worst performers, Merck and Verizon. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Fluor Systems and Indo International, and the worst performers were American International and CF Industries. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 26 cents at 120.74, Marathon Petroleum up 31 cents at 50.65, AEP up a penny at 63.28, CSX down 66 cents at 47.34, AK Steel down 8 cents at 8.49, and Community Trust Bank was up 40 cents to finish at 47.30. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University, providing classes for high-ability students, their parents, and their educators for more than 30 years. The Center for Gifted Studies at Western Kentucky University is now accepting applications for middle and high school summer camps, including the 34th Annual Advanced Placement Summer Institute, June 26th through the 30th. More information at 270-745-6323 or online at wku.edu/gifted.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. Tonight, mostly clear in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy as the night goes on, lows in the mid-20s. Thursday, partly sunny with highs in the lower 40s. Thursday night, partly cloudy with lows in the mid-30s. Friday, mostly sunny, highs reaching into the mid-50s. Friday night, mostly clear with lows in the lower 40s. Saturday, partly sunny with a 20% chance of rain showers and highs in the lower 60s. Saturday night, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers and lows in the lower 40s. And Sunday, mostly sunny with highs in the lower 60s. Taking a look at the temperatures around the region, it is currently 44 degrees in Ashland, 42 in Flemingsburg, 46 in Inez. Lexington and Winchester are both sitting at 45 degrees. And it is currently 43 degrees right here on the campus of Morehead State University.
And that's it for us on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Moraz, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Jacob Lindberg, Kenzie Thompson, and Kyle Blankenbuehler. From the Kentucky News Connection, Greg Stottlemyre. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, Dan Translator, W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ashley Chapman and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Morehead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.